they become a potentially very dangerous person if that clearance was mistakenly provided. So I think we're going to be creating a class of people through that approach who are probably going to be giving security personnel at airports a false sense of security.
The ACLU is asking the TSA to develop transparent procedures that would allow passengers to fly without being treated as potential terrorists. For Free Speech Radio News at WPFW, I'm Selena Masuda of the DC Radio Co-op.
Okay, we got to bring this little party to a conclusion here because the news is running way late. It's almost like the other radio station now. It's 7 minutes after 6 o'clock, and we let that one play because it was of particular interest. In fact, it saved me from reading a story about that exact same thing. But we're 7 minutes late for Off the Wall, and yes, that's our theme. If you're really upset by this and you want to hear how Free Speech Radio News ends, there's about, I guess, about 10 minutes left of it. You can tune in to WBAI 99.5 or WPKN 89.5 in a half hour, and they will be at the stage where we cut off. And you can also go to fsrn.org and listen to it online. By the way, this was their fault this time, not our fault. And if your dial is riveted to 90.1 FM, as it should be, then your only choice is to listen tomorrow morning at 6:30 a.m. when we repeat the whole damn thing. This is Off the Wall. Very good evening to everybody. The excuse me, program is choking to death on the air. Off the Wall, where we talk for about an hour, sometimes less, every Tuesday night between 6 and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And a couple of programming notes. We talked about the marathon, the ill-fated marathon, at least for our show. Well, there's not going to be a marathon tonight either because it's Passover. And I totally forgot about that last week. We don't have the marathon when Passover is in effect, at least after sundown. I know it's not sundown yet, but it's going to be really soon, okay? So everybody went home at 5:30 or whenever the news started. So we'll be doing it next week, and, you know, I have to implore people, next week is really our only chance to do this. The first week we had only one person here, the second week we had nobody here, this week is Passover, so next week hopefully we'll have a lot of people here answering phones, and we can get all five lines to ring, and bring in all kinds of pledges. Last year we had about $2,000 for the program. And this year, I think it's about $100 so far. But that's because we just haven't been able to really let loose. So next week, please listen live between 6 and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll have some interesting premiums. And it's to support this radio station, to keep it going, which allows us to keep going and bringing you all kinds of world information and perspectives and gives you the opportunity to speak out on your own. Yeah, pretty cool, isn't it? It doesn't take much. Well, speaking of world events, let's take a look at them. And boy, world events have taken a plunge in the last week, haven't they? Let's take a look at today first. The Pentagon says up to a dozen Marines have been killed in new fighting. I can't even keep up with this anymore. A dozen Marines have been killed in new fighting near Ramadi in Iraq. And that's not even Fallujah. Hearing all these cities for the first time? Well, start paying attention because you're going to be hearing a lot of them in the... Who knows how much longer? In Fallujah, yes, Marines fought rebels in reprisal for the killing of four Americans. We'll get to that in a moment. A doctor says women and children are among 26 Iraqis killed by U.S. jets. Makes you proud, doesn't it? To the south, militants loyal to a Shiite cleric have attacked allies in several cities. What's wrong with this picture here? The Shiites, weren't they the ones who were coming in to help? The Sunnis, all right, the Sunnis were, I wouldn't say the Sunnis were the bad guys, but the Sunni Muslims were allied with Saddam Hussein. Of course, Sunni Muslims having their start here at the State University of New York at Stony Brook. well, not Stony Brook, but SUNY, State University of New York in general. Those are the SUNY Muslims. And they somehow got all this power in Iraq and Iran as well. Basically, the deal is this, okay? The Sunnis were the ones that were the Saddam people, all right? I can just see the telegrams I'm going to be getting from Sunni people here. Yeah, well, whatever. The point is, Sunni were the ones that were driven out of power. The Shiites were supposed to be happy about this, but look, they're not happy. They're not happy at all. They're pretty upset. They're going around killing Americans now. They're going around building up strength. And now we have new enemies. New enemies of the people, which we must go and target. New Osama bin Ladens. New Saddam Husseins. New Muammar Gaddafis. They're all over the place. Now, did you see the April 1st, no fools, the real April 1st edition of the New York Times? Last Thursday, April 1st. Well, if you have a copy, I suggest getting it and taking a look at the front page. All right, well, we're going to get to that in a second. Let's finish with what's going on today. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says if commanders in Iraq ask, American commanders that is, they will receive more troops to put down violence. Rumsfeld said he would be delighted if NATO sends forces to Iraq. What a good way to initiate those new countries, huh? Hey, Estonia, you want to be part of this little club here? Well, let's. How about some of your citizens get killed? Yeah, that's how you break in a new country. Anyway, defense officials say they're reviewing ways to augment the U.S. force if violence spreads. A State Department spokesman says militants were looking at the American embassy in Jordan as a possible target. Jordanian officials had said over the weekend that Muslim extremists thought to be tied to Al-Qaeda were planning violence. You know, it's not that organized a thing. Violence happens. You don't need a majority of a committee to decide that violence is going to happen. It just happens. When you have a situation that lends itself to violence, you're going to get violence. No planning. No planning needed. You know, occupy a country, violence will follow. It's one of the oldest lessons in the world, and it's kind of uplifting to see George W. Bush learning that as he goes along. Unbelievable. So, what was it again? So that was the first I actually saw of this. Up to a dozen Marines killed today. Yesterday, there were four more soldiers killed. U.S. troops battled Iraqi guerrillas on Tuesday on the edges of Fallujah, which hundreds of Marines and Iraqi troops surrounded in a major operation to pacify one of Iraq's most violent cities. And four Marines were killed in the area. The Americans were killed by hostile fire actually on Monday, bringing to five the number of Marines killed that day. In northern Baghdad's Qasimiyah district, three U.S. soldiers were killed, all members of the 1st Armored Division. And this doesn't even count what happened over the weekend. Over the weekend, when five U.S. soldiers were killed in one bombing, and then the four non-soldiers, we don't know what exactly they were doing over there. It doesn't really matter at this point. Some people are saying, yo, they were spies. They were, you know, they were up to something. Of course they were up to something. Any American in Iraq right now is up to something. But you know what? I don't care. It doesn't matter. They could all be Donald Rumsfeld. They could all be George W. Bush's. Doesn't matter. Nobody deserves that kind of treatment, what we saw. And that's where the front page of the New York Times on April 1st comes into play. They printed a picture like nothing I have ever seen in the New York Times. Nothing I've ever seen. Of bodies hanging from the bridges. I mean, you can't even tell their bodies. It just burnt out, charred remains with an angry crowd chanting and cheering below them. Reprehensible. Absolutely reprehensible. And I think the media, regardless of what Michael Powell might say, the media must show this. Yeah, it's going to disturb the children. It's going to disturb the backwoods rednecks that, don't want to see anything objectionable. But it's time we take the airways back from the Michael Powells of the world and say, people need to see this. People need to know what's going on out there. And sometimes that involves bad language. Sometimes that involves disturbing images. Sometimes it involves people hitting each other, because that's what's going on in the world. You know, you can tune into the Disney Network and rivet your attention there if you want. But for the rest of us, we want to know what the hell is going on. And I'm sick of having to tune to foreign TV networks to find out. It's time we saw it right here. Not just on premium cable, over the air, so everybody can see. It's just so upsetting to see a nation that is so well connected not be able to learn anything, not be able to see anything, because of the mindsets of a few. So yeah, everybody should see exactly what happened in Fallujah last weekend. And yet, you know, I would have no problem with everybody responsible for that being sent straight to hell on an express bus. But you know what? Despite what we're being told by our elected representatives, this was not an isolated group of people. This was the entire damn town. Look at them. You've got kids, you've got elderly women, everybody's running around having a good time burning these people alive, mutilating their corpses. It wasn't something that only a few troublemakers started. It was an orgy of violence, the kind of thing that happens in situations of war. So if you're going to prosecute anybody, I think you have to prosecute the whole town. It's disgusting when people act like this. But it's unfortunately part of what drives human beings. So the bigger question is, what the hell are we still doing there? And what is this all about? Where is it going? Yeah, and, you know, this is the point where the Democrats are just as bad as the Republicans, because they say, well, you know, we're going to have to send more troops in there. And what exactly are we going to be accomplishing with this quagmire that will continue to swallow up more American lives and lives of troops from other countries that we con into going over there? We've gotten the people that we wanted to get out of power. There are no weapons of mass destruction. Now, those are the two main themes of this war. A year ago, that's what we were being told. We have to go into Iraq because they're about to launch weapons of mass destruction. We have to stop them from doing that. Well, okay, that was a lie. There were no weapons of mass destruction. That reason is gone. And the other reason? Okay, Saddam Hussein, he's a bastard. He's a really bad man. He must go. Well, he's gone. He's being held in a bunker someplace. Who knows? Who cares? He's finished. So, what's the reason now? The people that we came in to help are now mutilating American bodies in the street. And I don't think anybody who actually lives there wants Americans there. So, what in hell are we still doing there? Yeah, I know, if we leave, it's going to be civil war and anarchy and things like that, as opposed to what we have right now. So, my proposal is, we take everybody out of there, and we pay some huge amount of reparations to Iraq to rebuild their country, and have the UN supervise that. Which, I imagine, is the kind of thing that they would agree to do. At least I certainly hope so. And we apologize to the entire world for starting this crap in the first place. I mean, do you honestly think we're safer now than we were then? People are more afraid than ever. It's like living in a country of occupation here, too. If you heard the FSRN report about people being targeted on airline lists, that kind of thing is just going to continue going on. And, you know, the conventions are happening this year. Oh, boy, that is going to be something else. That is going to be a real carnival. The political conventions. First of all, I don't even know why they have to put us through this. What is the point? Obviously, it's going to be Kerry versus Bush. We all know that. The only thing we don't know is who's going to be the vice presidential candidate for Kerry. All right, Cheney's not going anywhere. We're going to have Cheney still. But who's Kerry going to pick? You know what, Kerry? Just pick them, all right? Spare us. Just pick whoever you're going to pick. I can't say I'm very happy with what I'm hearing so far, though, as far as choices. You know, someone was broaching the subject of what's his name? You know, the Republican senator, John McCain. John McCain. He's a Republican, for God's sake. How can you possibly pick a Republican as a running mate when you're a Democrat? I mean, you know, I don't think there's much difference between the parties, but even that rubs me the wrong way. He says it's not going to happen. Everybody's denying it. But the fact that it was taken seriously, that spells some serious problems with the whole political system that such a thing would even be entertained. So, no, that didn't thrill me very much. I'm hearing other people like, you know, the governor of New Mexico, Bob Graham of Florida, you know, people that just don't have any, Joe Biden of Delaware? Good God, don't we have any new people? Why not just pick Ted Kennedy? let's have some new, John Edwards I think would be a good choice for vice presidential candidate. I really do. He has enthusiasm, you know, he has that southern charm. And he'll run out and get a sandwich for you if you need it, you know, when those meetings go late at night in the White House. He's, you know, he's enthusiastic. You need that. You need that kind of pep. So I don't know. I don't know who he's going to pick. But you know what? He can pick them whenever he feels like picking them. We don't need a convention to do that. And that's the only thing that's going to come out of this, apart from, you know, all the states coming together and waving flags and casting votes that don't mean anything in the first place. I mean, you know, it's just like going to the Politburo and seeing the same leaders put into power over and over again with unanimous votes. It's meaningless. The people have no say in it. Don't fool yourselves. But what's going on with the conventions is really... yeah, I love it. Okay, I just want to say I love chaos and anarchy and mayhem. I do. I don't like seeing people getting killed and hurt, but... that is an unfortunate result of stupidity. But the people over there, the people in Iraq, have every right to kick our asses, to kick us out of that country. And I support that. I support being kicked out of this country because it's wrong to be there. It's wrong to occupy another nation against their will. And that's what's happening, regardless of what anybody is saying who's in power. The people do not want us there. We should not be there. We got everything we needed out of that place, which was nothing. It's time to admit that we were wrong and fix the situation. We're not going to fix it by staying there for another 10 years and being massacred. And no, I don't support anything, any of the barbarity that's going on. And that's a horrible thing. That's a horrible thing. It's a symptom of a bigger problem, though. So anyway, with regards to what that means over here, all kinds of security issues are being raised. It was announced last week that Boston is going to be closing I-93 during the Democratic Convention up there in late July. And they're also going to be closing North Station, which is a transit hub up there, because it's near the convention center. Now, of course, that raises questions about what's going to happen here in New York when we have the Republican convention afterwards in late August, early September. Boy, that's close to September 11th, isn't it? In New York City, wow. What fortunate timing for the Republicans. Anyway, so while Bush is in the convention center on September 2nd, the Secret Service wants all Amtrak, New Jersey Transit, and Long Island Railroad service to cease. That's according to the Daily News. Now, for now, the six subway lines that run alongside Madison Square Garden on 7th and 8th Avenues will remain open, but get this, they won't stop at 34th Street, one of the main stations. So if you need to get to the LIRR or something like that, you're out of luck, because of all this garbage is going on. There is still debate whether to demand the subway lines also be fully halted when Bush takes the stage that Thursday, which is the last day of the four-day GOP convention. The New York Police Department, which is working with the Secret Service, denied any final decisions have been made. NYPD Deputy Commissioner Paul Brown says, obviously we have added more protection to Penn Station, and we are working closely and daily with the Secret Service. But the station will be open, and no major arteries will be closed. Who wants to take bets on that? New York City will be open for business, according to Raymond Kelly, trying to pacify the mobs. At City Hall, an aide said of the rail stoppage plan, we are adamantly opposed to this. Well, that's good. It's too bad you weren't adamantly opposed to bringing the thing to New York in the first place and causing all this mayhem. What, we're going to sell a few more hot dogs or something? What's the advantage to people? There are such things as good events and bad events. You know, the World Series is a good thing. Right? The Republican National Convention, closing off a major train station, making everybody afraid of terrorism, you know, and all this nonsense that goes with it, that's a bad thing. Anyway, the worry is over rail lines, and this shows you how silly the whole thing is, too. Convention safety comes a few weeks after train bombings in Madrid killed 191 people, as if they just invented bombing trains in Madrid, you know? You could always bomb trains. You could do that 20 years ago, 50 years ago even. It's not like anything new has come out of that. You can bomb anything. Anything can blow up. It's not very difficult. So closing train stations is only going to make someone bomb bus stations. And if they close those, they'll bomb shopping centers. The thing is, you have to ask yourself, why are people bombing things? How long is this going to go on for? What kind of a world are we creating where everybody wants to kill us? The whole thing is really aggravating and upsetting. And if nothing else, the Republican convention will give the people of New York a chance to say that directly to them. Let's hope that happens. I intend to be there. What else is going on? By the way, welcome your phone calls at 631-632-WUSB if you have any feelings, strong or mild, on these issues. We'd love to hear from you. Might not get to you for the next couple of minutes, because I still have some other things to go through here, such as President Bush will be sharing information with the 9/11 panel. But get this, he's not going to be speaking to them by himself. Wouldn't you love that? Wouldn't you love to have him up there answering questions? You notice how you never see Bush doing that? You know, like Richard Clark was up there. He was answering questions from this committee. Condoleezza Rice, she's going to be up there on Thursday. After not wanting to be there, she's going to be up there answering some pretty difficult questions Thursday morning. Might be worth tuning in C-SPAN and seeing that for yourself. Or I think BAI is covering it as well on the radio. But Bush will not be doing that. Bush will be with Cheney. He won't be by himself. He can't slip up and say something that is completely inaccurate because someone will be there to speak for him. But Bush said he looks forward to sharing information with the Independent Commission investigating the September 11th attacks and stressed that his administration had no indication hijackers would seize and deliberately crash four commercial jets that day. You know, I believe that. I don't think very many people feel that Bush actually knew that that was going to happen. The question is, how competent was he in that situation? Anyway, Bush said, I look forward to sharing information with them. Let me be very, very clear on this. Had we had the information to stop the attack, I would have stopped the attack. Well, I mean, that convinces me. Right there. Yeah, he's on our side, of course. He would have stopped the attack. And who wouldn't have stopped the attack if they had the information? See, that's why you need him in the chair by himself, because he'll say stupid things like that. No one will say, don't say that, because, you know, that's really silly. Anyway, Bush and Vice President Cheney have agreed to sit down with a 10-member bipartisan panel in a private session. Yeah, you won't be seeing that on C-SPAN. Interesting question, though. Who's going to be running the country while they're both sitting in that room? Anyway, he was asked why he was appearing with Cheney as opposed to appearing alone before the commission. Bush said, it will be a great opportunity for them to ask both of us our opinions on the subject. See what I mean? What a great answer. What a great answer. Why are you appearing with this other person so that I can appear with this other person? It's beautiful. Anyway, you know, and that's the difference between Bush and Blair. Blair at least has the guts to stand up and speak his mind by himself and defend himself. And he's got the knowledge and ability to do that. Bush does not, as has been demonstrated. In fact, I'll try to bring this next week. Someone sent in a list of of IQs of presidents over the past century or so, based on public statements, based on things that they had written themselves, based on the way they present themselves. And Bush got a 91 IQ. Nixon was like 150 or something. And honestly, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I'd feel more comfortable with a very bright person leading the country down the path to war and hell and things like that. This is funnier, obviously, but you have to be concerned. Anyway, as we all know, Bush's approach to terrorism was criticized by his former counterterrorism chief, Richard Clark, during 2 days of public hearings where he was by himself in front of the commission. And that's the National Commission on Terrorist Attacks Upon the United States, as the 9/11 panel is formally known. Okay, and what else is going on? This is really pretty shameful. A year after the U.S.-led invasion toppled Saddam Hussein's government in Iraq, items are showing up on eBay that came from Saddam's palaces. The seller of a second-hand rug lists the previous owner of the roughly 6x9-foot piece of carpet as ousted Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein. Customers can also bid on silverware embossed with the Iraqi army's crest and a copy of the Quran, the Muslim holy book, which is purported to be from a Baghdad compound. Now, how is it that soldiers are allowed to do this? That they're allowed to literally loot Iraqi sites? I mean, yes, we all know Saddam Hussein was a bad man. We all know that. But don't these things belong to the Iraqi people? You know, what you have to do is turn this around and pretend that this is happening in the United States, that a foreign army comes in and they go to, what, the White House, City Hall, whatever, and they just start carrying out carpets and telephones and, you know, silverware and whatever they can find, and they bring it back to their country and they make money off of that. You'd be a little pissed off by that. I know I would be. In fact, this is really annoying to me. And yet, apparently, it's policy that kind of thing can happen. And I think a couple of years ago, when we were simply thinking that maybe one day we'd go into Iraq, I don't think this would have been accepted for one moment. And now it's happening all the time. So yeah, look on eBay for relics from Iraq. You'll find all kinds of things. I've talked to a number of people over there, too, who have served in one way or another, National Guard, Army, Marines. One thing about this particular military operation is that it's very well connected to the rest of the world. People pop up on IRC, literally, who are in Iraq, soldiers, or they send an instant message or email, things like that. And you can talk to them. And we have an IRC network, irc.2600.net, and people pop in there from time to time. They go into pound 2600, which is the main 2600 channel. And sometimes there are people that are actually in weird parts of the world, and Iraq was one of those weird parts of the world. And there was one person I was talking to for a while, a couple of weeks, months, and I hadn't heard from him in several months. Turned out that he had been injured and sent home. He finally signed back on. This was a couple of months ago. And mentioned that, yes, he had been injured. I think it was a bomb or something like that. And he's lost the sight in one of his eyes and will never quite walk right again. And, you know, you hear about the people who are killed. And there are a lot of people being killed. 12 Marines today. You know, and how many soldiers over the past few? It's gone up an incredible amount. We'll have thousands of soldiers killed because of this ridiculous action. But you don't hear about the wounded people, and there are so many of those. And I'm just talking about the physical wounds. I'm not even getting into the mental wounds that come about from this kind of a thing. There are so many people there who have lost limbs, who have been blinded, deafened, who knows the kinds of horrible things that can happen from being in a hostile land. And this now was one of those people. And yet, even after all this, he harbored no resentment to the Iraqi people. He said he understood why they were doing what they were doing, and he would do the same thing if this was happening to his country. And, you know, maybe this is just the kind of people who sign on to our network, who go on to IRC while they're over there, or send email. Maybe they're just more enlightened or more sympathetic to rebellion and that kind of a thing. But I find it to be an incredibly strong show of character to actually go through something like this and actually try to understand the other side instead of just blindly hating. And the question is, who is the enemy over here? Is there an enemy? Anyway, now we have supporters of Muslim cleric Muqtada al-Sadr, who's the newest enemy, better get used to that name. We've issued an arrest warrant for him. Oh yeah, that's going to work. That's going to work. He has now taken over religious and security buildings in the holy city of Najaf early Tuesday evening. The source said al-Sadr's... I don't even know if I'm pronouncing this right, so forgive me if I'm not. The source said al-Sadr. I'm going to say al-Sadr. That sounds better. Yeah, the source said al-Sadr's followers controlled the governor's office, police stations, and the Ayman Ali Mosque, one of Shia Muslims' holiest shrines. Iraqi police were negotiating to regain their stations. How did they lose their stations in the first place? Went out to get some donuts, and they came back. They were taken over by fundamentalists. Boy. The source also said al-Sadr was busing followers into Najaf from Sadr City in Baghdad, and that many members of his outlawed militia, Mehdi's army, were from surrounding provinces. You see where this is going? There are just so many people involved now. This is no longer a simple thing. Now, of course, the United States has said that June 30th, power will be handed over. That's not going to change. And when it turns into utter chaos and mayhem afterwards, that will be the excuse for staying there for another few years. Oh, terribly sad. 631-632-9872. 631-632-WUSB. And, how about this? Dozens of major cities in the United States have been rocked by an escalation in race riots, which began 2 days ago. At least 19 people have died so far in the arson, looting, and shootings provoked by the assassination of black civil rights leader Martin Luther King on April 4th. Okay, I'm reading news from April 6, 1968. But still, it's pretty interesting. Several hundred have also been injured, and about 3,000 people have been arrested, most of those in Washington, D.C. Curfews are in place in many areas of the country, and National Guard soldiers have been mobilized to help quell the violence, which is threatening to engulf the U.S. in a race war. 12,000 troops in the nation's capital were called on to help protect firefighters, tackling at least 8 blazes started by rioters. The fires started in Chicago were accompanied by looting and sniping, and at least 20 buildings have been completely destroyed. There have also been 38 arson attacks in Detroit, shootings reported in Pittsburgh, and a 4-hour gun battle at Tennessee State University. Dr. King's immediate successor, Reverend Ralph Abernathy, has repeatedly appealed for calm. The new head of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference of Atlanta has appeared on television urging people to respect the murdered leader's commitment to nonviolent protest. But the United Black Front chairman, Lincoln Lynch, said black Americans should adopt a new stance. It is imperative to abandon the unconditional nonviolent concept expounded by Dr. King and adopt the position that for every Martin Luther King who falls, 10 white racists will go down with him. There is no other way. America understands no other language, he said. And a national day of mourning on the U.S. in the U.S. for Dr. King will take place on April 7th. Well, that was the news on April 6th, 1968. And I found this really cool site that takes you back in history. It's on the BBC. news.bbc.co.uk/onthisday. And you can find virtually any day and what happened on that particular day in history. Other things that happened on this day in history. 1994, Rwanda president's plane shot down. And, of course, we know what that led to. 1975, Operation Baby Lift lands in UK, where 99 Vietnamese orphans came to Heathrow. 1989, Dockers Jobs for Life scrapped. I don't even know what that means, but all kinds of historical perspective that you can learn a thing or two about. Okay, we're going to take phone calls. 631-632-WUSB. So if you're calling in, please stay on the line. If you haven't started calling in yet, we have open lines. Let's first listen to this very important announcement.
I'm talking with Frank Zappa, and let's take a few more calls, okay?
Okay. Hello?
Hey?
Hello?
Hello, this is Frank Zappa.
Yes?
Going to be out of Stony Brook?
Yes, we are.
When?
I can't give you the exact date because I haven't memorized the itinerary yet, but as soon as the road manager says, wake up, you're going to Stony Brook, that's it.
Wake up, you're going to Stony Brook. On Sunday, April 18th, starting from noon and lasting till midnight, WUSB will once again be hosting its annual Zappathon, our yearly celebration of the music of Frank Zappa, American iconoclast and composer. Join me, Mr. Edison, John Tobacco, and a wealth of WUSB staffers as we survey all aspects of the man's musical legacy. That's Sunday, April 18th, starting at noon, all day long, right here at WUSB Stony Brook.
And that's something certainly worth setting your calendars to. Sunday, April 18th is when we will be doing that. Frank Zappa Marathon. Yeah, I think it's a really cool idea. We've done it a few times here at this radio station, and it's always been a lot of fun. Okay, 631-632-WUSB is our phone number. And look at that, all the phone calls hung up. Why do people do that? Why do people call in, and then when I'm about to take the phone call, they go away? You know what's going to happen? I'm going to read something else. I'm going to get engrossed in that. And by the time I look at the phone again, it's going to be too late. All right. I see one call. Let's get another call on the line, and I'll be convinced to start taking some phone calls. It's only fair. Because, you know, that one person could say something silly, and then I have nobody to go to. No backup plan. I need an exit strategy. Now, of course, you can write to us, otw@2600.com, if you have any kind of questions or comments. All right, let's take this phone call. And good evening, you're on.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'd like to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Reference the bit you went through, not a bit, but about the eBay thing. Is there any proof? Like the servicemen are doing that. I mean, couldn't that have been people who live there, you know, hoping to cash in? Because every time that I see any kind of looting going on over there, it's always the indigenous people, not soldiers.
Well, I know. At least at first, that certainly was going on quite a bit. But these guys that are selling the various items on eBay claim to be soldiers. They're in the United States. They must have somehow gotten them somehow. You know,
okay.
But this guy, okay, here's somebody in particular, Adam Derringer. He's the one selling a rug for $850. He said, we didn't think we were going to be able to get them home, but they said we could take 10 items. He and other members of his unit at first took rugs from one of Saddam's many palaces to soften their quarters in a hangar at Baghdad International Airport. He was part of the 3rd Forward Support Battalion. We went through about 15 or 20 different palaces. There were 15 rugs there, and every one of us grabbed one, and we took them. So there you go.
Okay, I just wanted some sort of, like, you know, I guess, proof, because, like I said, every time I see the looting on television and all like that, which, unfortunately, Al Jazeera, which is what I have to subscribe to, I wasn't all that happy about doing it, but I wanted to see, like you said, what was going on,
uh-huh.
And Al Jazeera, you know, pretty much tells you a lot of what's going on.
You said you had to subscribe?
Find out for sure that it wasn't the local people that were doing it and having the servicemen blamed for it.
Right, I'm not sure I understand what you mean. You said you had to subscribe to Al Jazeera?
Well, yeah, what am I going to do? Rely on CNN to show me what's going on?
Oh, okay. I thought you were forced at gunpoint to subscribe to Al-Qaeda, or Al Jazeera, rather. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, you know, if you have the satellite dish, you can just subscribe to it. I mean, I wasn't too keen on doing it. I don't want to get put on any stupid list or anything, but...
You know what? Just listening to this radio station, you're on a list already, so don't worry about that. But tell me, how do you do that? What do you actually go through to get Al Jazeera?
It's real simple. If you subscribe to the Dish Network...
Mm-hmm.
Call them up and say, I want this channel. It's just like, you know, subscribing to HBO or Cinemax or any of the rest of them.
Uh-huh. You do need to get another dish, though, from their main network, don't you?
I'm sorry?
You have to get a different dish, though, for the international stuff on Dish Network, don't you?
I already have two because I subscribe to the a lot of the Asian channels.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it comes out for that second dish. And it's pretty interesting. You know, a lot of it's mixed English and non-English, so...
Uh-huh. Well, they're going to be starting up an English channel, from what I hear, in the next, I don't know, I've been hearing this for a while, but hopefully this year sometime.
Is that right?
Yeah. But I think you can go to aljazeera.net, their website, and that's where you can get news in English.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's not something I ever thought of.
Yeah, I'll give that a shot. And it's good that you're listening to alternate viewpoints, and hopefully, you know, you'll get some truth out of it somehow.
Well, I have to. It's like, you know, just the other day, a friend of mine... I had a copy of the Village Voice in my car. He's like, you read that stuff? And I go, what am I going to do, rely on Newsday to tell me where all the good bands are playing?
Well, people look at the Village Voice as subversive material, don't they?
Hey, I'm sure on a list to that, too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, keep on searching.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right. 631-632-WUSB is our phone number if you're out of the country, country code 1. Yeah, I know people listen to us in Iraq. They might not listen live because it's some ungodly hour over there right now, but... I've gotten letters, and it's good to know. It's good to know people are out there. If you're out on another part of the world, please feel free to give us a call. Country code 1, area code 631-632-9872 is our phone number if you have anything to say or to add. Again, we're not taking pledges this week, but we will be taking pledges next week, and it's extremely important that our listeners listen live and call in and show their support. You don't have to agree with what I'm saying, you know? Maybe what I'm saying is completely off the wall. I like that, huh? But at least we're able to say it. Try tuning into one of those other networks. What do you think of this new liberal radio network? You know, they started up last week, and now they have all kinds of liberal programs. You know, I love the idea. I love the idea of there being different views on the radio. What a unique concept. We can have not just the conservatives, but also, no, stay with me, also, we could have people who disagree with the conservatives. Yeah, I know it's dangerous. I know it's subversive. I know it's something that most people think will not work. But why not? Why not have a little bit of diversity? The problem I have with the liberal radio network, though, is that all they do is react to the conservatives. It's just a reaction network. Not reactionary, but a reaction network. They need to go out and get the conservatives to talk about them, to talk about the things they're saying and how outrageous they are. You know? Imagine if I was on that network saying the things I said this hour. Oh, boy, they'd be calling for all kinds of things, all kinds of action on the conservative radio network. Maybe the liberal one, too. I don't know. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening.
How you doing?
Good. I'm calling to talk about Air America.
Okay, that's the liberal radio network, Air America.
Radio, have you listened to it?
Well, I was just talking about it, in fact. So I listened to it a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a good idea. I just think that they care too much about what the Republicans are saying and thinking, and they should just be saying and thinking things on their own.
But do you ever listen to the conservative radio?
Oh, yes, I do.
Well, they talk about it as liberals, right?
Well, they also pretty much go out and say their own, conservative agenda.
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of that does involve criticizing liberals, of course, but, you know, they're not responding to what they hear on WBAI or something like that. They're not responding to any liberal programs out there. They're responding to liberal politicians, but they don't care, you know, what these other people on the radio are saying because they're not heard anywhere, obviously. I just think these guys with the new network should just be going out talking about, how they would change the country and not caring what Rush Limbaugh says.
Yeah. To me, the main thing is both of them, it's like listening to the WWF.
Uh-huh. You mean the WWE.
And to see the guy with the purple hair and the evil one,
yeah,
and the screaming. And so it's more entertaining than news.
Right. But WWF now is the World Wildlife Foundation, so I think you mean the World Wrestling, whatever the E stands for.
Worldwide Wrestling Federation or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
They were pretty comical.
It's funny. And the thing, though, that really kind of upsets me is the fact that they had to take over WLIB in New York, which was the only black-owned radio station. I guess it still is. But they played, you know, Caribbean music, and they had, you know, things from a Caribbean point of view. And now, in typical liberal style, that part of the community is up against the liberals because they took over their radio station. They should have taken over something that nobody listened to, you know, like Disney Radio or something like
Caribbean
that.
Caribbean music on WUSB, won't they?
Oh, yeah, we'll have Caribbean music, but you can't hear that in New York City. That's the problem. And it's just, you know, I just think it's a bad move to take over something that already should be in your community, you know. Why not take over a conservative station? They probably couldn't pay for it, or a sports station, or a business station. It just seemed like a poor choice to...
I don't think there's a lot of choices of what you can get on radio. I think you have to, like, take what you can get.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, all the blame doesn't belong with Air America either. Obviously, WLIB had to express an interest in it. But it just, you know, it wasn't a good thing, I don't think.
Yeah, well, it just made me want to... Listening to it just made me want to get beer and popcorn and start screaming and listening to the old grandmother down in the front row... Kill him! Kill him!
Well, the other problem I have with Air America, they're using personalities. You know, they're using Al Franken and, you know, other people that aren't radio people. Whereas the conservatives, you know, I disagree almost everything they say, but they are radio people, and it shows. And I think that's very important. They need to go with radio people. It sounds like I'm pushing for a job there. Believe me, I'm not.
So people, there aren't any now. Where are they going to come from?
There are plenty of places. I mean, there are plenty of liberal people out there. You just don't hear from them. But
yeah.
I'm sure that if they open up their doors, they'd come piling in.
Well, maybe they will. They're brand new, so.
Yeah. That's the other thing, though. You know, I work at other liberal establishments, and everybody is sniping at these guys. Everybody is saying, oh, they're, you know, a bunch of sellouts, and they're not, you know, real. It's time for the liberal community, the leftist community, Democrats, whatever you want to call them, to, you know, kind of get behind each other and stop all the pot shots, because...
I say, give them a chance, let's listen to what they have to say.
Exactly.
And be entertained. Don't expect news. It's entertainment. Don't forget that.
Right. It's not perfect. It's not going to be everything you want, but it's the best you can get right now. Or, you know, it's something. Might not be as good as some things you hear on other stations, but it's something. It should be supported.
Yep.
Simple as that. Hey, thanks for your call.
Have a good evening.
You too. We have time for one or two more if people want to call back in. Should we take one of these? All right. Let's take one of these. And good evening. You're on.
Oh, hello.
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, I'm calling from New York City.
Oh, great.
I'm calling about Air America as well. I don't feel like it's the right. I mean, it's nice. I
mm-hmm.
think maybe they've got some good programs. I haven't listened much, but I don't feel like it's the right thing to do. I think it shouldn't be the station that has the viewpoint. It should be the programs expressing their own. You know, I mean, obviously
yeah.
It's the people running the programs.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I totally agree with that. I think, you know, I don't even know the name of the network that Rush Limbaugh is on. Is it the Excellence in Broadcasting Network or something like that? The name of the network is not that important. In fact, I think WABC, which is a station that airs him in New York, I don't think they just air programs from that network. They probably air all kinds of things. They have their own local programming. So, yeah, you're right. It shouldn't be a network, a type of doctrine that's passed down. It should be every programmer doing their own thing. Unfortunately, the way it's worked out on national radio, it seems to be predominantly conservative.
I'm certainly there's got to be someone to balance that out. But
mm-hmm.
I just kind of wish it could be done in some other way.
Yeah, like how about WABC carries Al Franken's program instead?
Yeah, that would be
nice. But why do you think they don't do that?
Yeah, I don't know. Ratings would go down.
But why would ratings go down? I mean, if the show is any good, the ratings should go up. People should be yelling at their radio like, you know, one of our listeners said. It's, I don't know. It's something that obviously points to a problem in the way media is handed out in this nation.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll keep an eye on it, see how things go in the future weeks and months. Hopefully they'll survive. All right, thanks for your call. It's funny how we're talking about bloodshed in Iraq and all kinds of horrible things going on, and Air America is what everybody wants to talk about. Well, okay, you know, it's an interesting thing, and I guess it's related, but you really got to start wondering what's happening overseas, and you have to be very concerned about that. I don't know. It's troublesome. It bothers me, and hopefully we'll find an answer in the very near future, and hopefully we'll be able to talk about it in the weeks ahead. All right, we're out of time. I want you to stay tuned for the blues coming up. And remember, again, next week, we're doing the fundraiser here at the radio station, our last and only chance for you to contribute. So please, contribute. That way we can talk about things like this. OTW at 2600.com. See you next week.
I've been thinking lately. So tomorrow I will appear. I'd love to be there, but I just can't this year. I crooned an old standard in a pleasant tone of voice, staring down on my fingernails with an old
This is Apple Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.